Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. Don't you just love it? Amen. We thank each and every one of you for tuning in this evening. For those of you who have tuned in by internet, coming in by internet, we ask that if you'd like to call in, this is an interactive Bible study. So you're able to call in and participate with the speaker for this evening. and anyone else is on. So the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And, of course, you know, we are our regular evening and or week with Pastor Mixon, amen, who's coming on in shortly, and she is coming from the book of Philippians 3:13, amen. So we're going to move on over into Long Island, New York, and we're going to hear what thus says the Lord, amen. Pastor Mixon, are you there?
Yes, God bless you, Elder Clay. God bless
amen.
All of you who are online. Please call someone, let them know that we are on the line tonight. I believe that there is something that is going to be said to help you for your tomorrow. And so please call somebody if you are on by the way of internet and you would like to interact with us. Please call. Please call us so that you can be able to interact with us in this Bible study on tonight. We want to go into with the word of prayer. I just want to go before the Lord so that the Lord will speak to us and that we will speak the words of God and not our own. So, Father God, we thank you tonight. We thank you for your many blessings toward us. We know that, God, you are able to do all things but fail. We pray on tonight that, God, you will allow someone to come online that may have never heard you speak this word before, but it will help them for the rest of their life. God, we pray that true deliverance will come to those who will be the hearers of the word. And we pray, God, tonight that they are not just hearers of the word, but they become doers of the word that they heard. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we give your name the honor and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Also,
amen.
Those who are on the line, we pray that all things are well since the last time we have spoken to you about a month ago. We're always grateful to be able to come on Talk Blog with our Elder Clay. And all of those who often come on these Wednesday nights. We're going to Philippians 3:13. We will go into other scriptures as well. But tonight we want to deal with overcoming yesterday with tomorrow's victory. Overcoming yesterday with tomorrow's victory. All right, we're going to read Philippians 3:13. And it reads, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I want to take this particular verse, and I want to grasp some things out of this particular verse and use it for our today, because there are so many people who have counted themselves out due to their past experiences. I want us to know a lot of times we are rejected not just by others, but we reject our own self because maybe the family that we were brought up in, things we may have done in our past, we don't allow ourselves to really enjoy the accomplishments that we have made in our lives because we are so busy looking at all the wrong. It's amazing how we oftentimes will look at what seems bad or what we don't like about ourselves. It seems like we tend to allow that to overpower the good that we've done. And I believe that God can take the things that you have done and he can wash those white as snow. That's why I'm so grateful about God, is because God is such a forgiving God. We have to learn, if we're going to be like God, act like God, then we're going to have to do the things that God has done. And one of those things, one of the things that God has done for us is forgiveness. That's one of the most powerful things that God has given us, is the gift of forgiveness. And the thing that he has forgiven us all for, all of us, were in need of forgiveness, all of us. So it's difficult for me to understand people who prejudge one another or judge one another for what they may have done or their past or what they are doing in their life, because one of the things that we all needed from our Lord and Savior is forgiveness. But there comes a time in our life when we can no longer let the things of yesterday darken the days of our present and future accomplishments. I'm going to say that again. There comes a time in our life where we can no longer allow the things of yesterday to darken the days of our present and future accomplishments. There are so many people who have made such great achievements, but they are darkened by the things of our past, and we won't allow ourselves to rejoice or understand the victory of rejoicing, because things are always darkened. Oftentimes, I've seen people who have accomplished great, great things in their life, and something they should be proud of. And there are times where you may see people who have done these things and have great accomplishments, and then they have people in the background saying stuff, well, I remember when, or, yeah, that's nice, but. And they always want to pull you back into place of yesterday, not realizing that every tomorrow allows you to have a greater accomplishment. And so we have made great triumphs because the days of our tomorrows. Yet we tend to reject the things of our future because of what may have happened in our past. Stop rejecting the things of your future. God wants us to be prosperous and in good health, even as our soul shall prosper. I have to ask this to people. I have to ask this question to those who are even on the line. I want you to think about it, and we'll open up the lines a little bit later. I have to ask the question, what is wrong with you being happy? Because a lot of times we talk about how the Lord delivered us from a miserable life of sin, yet and still the majority of people were not miserable in their sin, but they seem so miserable and dull. Now, I have to ask the question, what is it about being, since you've been on this side of the kingdom with God, that makes you feel as if you cannot be happy? Oftentimes we have a lot of do's and don'ts in the kingdom of God. But I've come to the understanding when I have entered into the things of God and when I am connected to the things of God, there's no way that I cannot be happy. There has to be a happiness, because there's a happiness that comes. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
So if the joy of the Lord is our strength, why are we walking around looking as if we are miserable, unhappy, unable to accomplish things that are supposed to happen in our life? And then one of the most difficult things to do is to try to introduce people to God when you are unhappy. Why would I want to join or be connected to God if you're never happy about what's going on in your life? You know, so we would make statements now in the kingdom of God. When somebody asks you, how are you doing? People often answer by saying, I'm blessed and highly favored. Well, that's wonderful, but I want you to live blessed and highly favored. I don't want you to just say, I'm blessed and highly favored. I want to walk in the blessings and the favor of God. See, it's one thing to say, and I know sometimes we say things. Let's fake it till we make it. Oh no, let's go ahead and live it while we're in the land of the living. If God wants us to be joyful, He wants us to be prosperous. Let's walk in it. Let's walk in it. And so I want to adopt. I want to connect with God so that when I go through the process of life, now I want you to understand, everything is not going to be easy. I'm not saying that when you wake up in the morning, that you may go to work and things don't happen where somebody will try your day. You know, as you're on your way to work, people will cut you off and try your day. But what I'm saying to you is you cannot allow that to take and consume your whole day. And so when we have understanding that we need to allow our past, stop holding on to the things of our past that have darkened us or has wounded us. One of the greatest things is that not only forgiving others, but forgiving yourself. And when we come to the place where we forgive ourselves of what we consider to be the unforgivable, oh, my God, to forgive yourself, y'all need to write that down, forgive yourself for what seems to be the unforgivable. Because when we feel like the unforgivable is unable, God said, I forgive a multitude of sins. A multitude of sins. And I don't know if anybody has gotten to a multitude of sins. There are many of us who have sinned quite a bit, but I don't know if we're at the place of multitude. And so God always makes a way of escape. Now, I want us to understand it is a travesty to think that God can only do what he's already done. It is a travesty to believe that God cannot change things or cannot change you. And so when we do that, when we get to a place where we do not believe that God can't even change us, then we handcuff God to our yesterday. That means, God, you can only do what you've already done. So, you know, I'm different, and it's amazing to me. Each generation thinks that they're different from the last generation. Bible lets us know that there is nothing new under the sun. Watch this. There may be different ways of doing it, but there is nothing new about what is being done under the sun. You know, it's amazing to me when I talk to some of the young people today, they think the stuff that they've gone through just started happening because of their generation. But if they ever sit down and talk to some of the people from yesteryear, the older generation, they'll tell you, you know, we take it for granted. We take it for granted the wisdom of the elders. You know, the Bible lets us know he calls the old because they know the way. He calls the young because they're strong, the old because they know the way. So a lot of times, if we can get the strong and we can get the wisdom together, we can move mountains and make accomplishments. Watch this. There are things that the young will never have to go through if they would just listen to the wisdom of the elders. So as I was younger, I would sit at the feet of the older saints. And you know, oftentimes I may be in an earshot of what they're saying. Some things I heard were good. Some things I heard wasn't so good. But there were things that I heard that I did not have to go through because I paid attention to the wisdom of the elders. You know, the thing is that I remember even with my daughter, I would say to her, listen, you don't want to go down that road. I'm trying to tell you, you don't want to do this or you don't want to do that. And and the statement would be made to me, Mom, that was you. That was back in the day. That's not going to happen to me. And it's amazing to me, the very thing that I said, don't do or don't go or don't let this happen, same thing happened because there is nothing new under the sun. I often tell people the game does not change. The game is the game, as they say. The only thing that changes are the people who are playing the game. The world does not change. The world has become more wicked, but the world has always been wicked. It does not change, but as the circle of life goes, there are different people who are in this world. There are those who have moved on and transitioned, and there are those who are coming in the world, and they are going to face the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's not going to change, because the Bible lets us know that there are some good things that are going to happen. In every man's life, we're going to have some trials and some tribulations. There are some things that are going to happen. Chance happens to all of us. But we've got to make sure that our calling and our election is sure. One of the reasons why we have to understand is that God has given us a place where we can get deliverance from the things that haunt us from our yesterday so that we can receive the victory in our tomorrow. But what I have found out is that deliverance can't come or can't reach us because there are a few things that happen. There are either one or two things that happen when we are unable to get to a place of deliverance. One of the things that happens is that we feel unworthy. We feel like the things that we have done in our life are so unforgivable that we're not worthy of deliverance. Let me tell you something. That is nothing but the enemy trying to make you believe that God cannot deliver you. Not only that, can God deliver you and set you free, he'll let you forget all about it. He'll let you move on with your life and be happy. The other reason why we can't get delivered is because there are some people who are so comfortable where they are that they're not even seeking for deliverance. And that's a scary place to be. That's a scary place to be when you are not even seeking for deliverance, not because you feel unworthy or not because you don't believe that God can't do it, but you're in a place where you don't even want him to do it. That means you're very happy where you are, even though you need to be free. And that's another thing that the enemy tries to make you believe, that where you are and what you're doing in the course of your life that keeps you bound and keeps you in the place of darkness is there because that's where you're supposed to be. No, 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 no. God has done so much for us to bring us into the light. He has done so much for us so that we don't have to walk in darkness. I'm one of those people that wherever I go, I turn on lights. I don't like darkness. I'm not scared of the dark. I don't like darkness. Okay? Because one thing I realized, and you can go through your house and the house be dark and you know where everything is. You can know where everything is and don't have to turn that one light on. So it's not that I'm afraid of the dark. It's just I want to know where everything is. I want to make sure that everything is where it's supposed to be. Let me tell you something. In the kingdom of God, we should be that way spiritually. We need to walk with the light on at all times. And we need to make sure that we expose the light of Jesus Christ to people. The only time that we don't want to show the light of Jesus Christ is if we're walking in darkness. Oh, my God. Anything that we don't want to show the world or show people, we hide it. And what covers what we're hiding? Darkness. Okay. Most of the time, when people do things that they're not supposed to do, they do it in the dark. When they don't want people to know what's going on, they hide it in a dark place. You've got to get to an understanding that there used to be a time in life where you would cover things up. You would walk in the things of darkness. You would sneak in darkness. But God said, no, no, no. I've got you where I need you to be. You are my child. And wherever you go, I want to be able to go with you. See, the thing about it is that if I take Jesus with me anywhere, he's like a flashlight. You can't hide him nowhere. You cannot hide. Oh, let me help you. The Bible talks about a young lady, a woman who was looking for deliverance for her daughter. And I think I shared this before with you before. And the Bible says that Jesus had gone into a house and hid himself because he had gotten tired of the Pharisees. And the Bible says that he hid himself in the house. And the Bible says that the woman found out where Jesus was, and her daughter needed deliverance. The Bible says when she found Jesus, she asked Jesus to help her daughter because her daughter was dealing with a demonic spirit. And Jesus said to her, I didn't come for you. I came for the lost tribe of Israel. And the Bible says that he said, well, he said, it's not good for me to give the children's bread to the dogs. And this woman began to worship Jesus where he was. He's hiding in the house. He doesn't want to be bothered. He's sitting in the cut. He's just closing himself out. He is hiding from them because he doesn't want to be bothered. Watch this. This woman does something to expose Jesus. The Bible says that the woman kneeled before him and began to worship him. People of God, know this, that you cannot carry God in your life and carry him and say that you have him as the head of your life. And when you take him, because we as worshipers worship him in spirit and in truth. Watch this. And wherever I take God, I have to understand that when I worship him, I don't just worship him when I go to church. I worship him at all times.
Yes.
And
yes.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So therefore, if I am a child of God, I am going to only talk about what God talks about. I'm going to only do things that God wants me to do. I'm not going to use profanity. I'm not going to use things, or I shouldn't say anything that's outside of the will of God. I'm not saying that we don't. But when I walk in the will of God, there's no way that I show up in a dark place that I don't expose Jesus to those who are around me. Watch this. Not only those who are saved, but those who are unsaved. That's why people look at you and try to figure out, what is it about you that's different? I can't put my finger on it, but when you walked in the door, there was something different about you that was different about other people that I'm normally around. And sometimes when you are a child of God, you can feel the kindred spirit of that one who is also a part of the kingdom of God. And you may never say it, but then all of a sudden as you strike a conversation, all of a sudden you realize, oh, this is my sister, this is my brother in Christ, because you cannot hide the light of God if he's existing in you. You can't hide him.
Amen.
You can't hide him. Listen. Peter tried to deny him. But they're like, no. You look, you can't hang around Jesus too long and not start looking like it. Oh my God, you become a product of your environment. I say this all the time. And if I'm in the Word of God, if I'm around the Word of God, if I'm around God's people, if I'm being poured into by my pastor, I'm being poured in through the Word of God, I'm being poured in by ministry of music, I'm being poured in different areas of the gospel, I can't hide God anywhere. Why? Because he has become a product of my environment. He has become a product of who I am. And so because he is a product of who I am a representation of who he is. And because I am a representation of who he is, I live the life, I walk the life, I talk the life of Jesus Christ. So that's why don't get offended, people. Don't get offended when people walk out because you're there. And you may never even say anything, but know that people recognize the presence of God. And when people don't want to get themselves together and they don't want to get right, they will excuse themselves out of the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to say a word.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy recognizes the presence of God.
Yes.
And he's going to either stay quiet or he's going to remove himself. Why? Because where the presence of the Lord, there is liberty. Watch this. Not only that, but God inhabits the praises of his people. And if you are a praiser, that means God inhabits your dwelling place. The only time we see where Satan is in the presence of the Lord is when he's invited. Okay, let me help you. When it talks about in Job, the Lord said to Satan, "Where are you going?" And Satan said to him, "I'm going up and down the earth to and fro." God said to him, "Well, have you considered my servant Job?" Watch this. Satan never speaks until he is spoken to. He never speaks to God in the text until God speaks to him. Because, look, all of us think that Satan is just around just trying to get things and just trying to be busy with us. He can only address you if God invites him to your life. So a lot of stuff, listen, a lot of stuff we give the devil credit for, we're giving the devil credit for things in our presence that he allowed to happen.
that happened in our past. Watch this. What are you talking about, Pastor Dawn? I'm talking about the time that he was in the garden and allowed the serpent and spoke to the serpent and spoke to Eve. This is where the downfall started. Watch this. We are dealing with the repercussions of what happened in the past in the garden. Watch this. The enemy is not big enough, y'all, to handle this world. He's not big enough to handle the world, watch him by himself. He does have his little imps and those that carry out some things for him, because he only can mock what God does. He's not good at creating new things. So he has to mock what God has already done. Well, God has a legion of angels. He got to have a legion of demons that are set out, because one thing is he cannot go to where you are. He does not know exactly what you're thinking. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipresent. He doesn't know all things. So a lot of things that the enemy knows is because we've uttered it or we've exposed it. Watch this. But no, we do not give the enemy more credit than he deserves. So in other words, the reason why things happen in our life is not because of what Satan has done in the present. It's because of the sin of mankind that has happened in our lives today. Watch this. The reason why there needed to be a redemptive power over our lives is so that we don't have to continue. Y'all hear me? Continue in sin. Bible says, do we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No. There is a way of escape. There is a reason why I don't have to live out the sins of my past, because God has given me in my future. He has given it way before my time of existence, way before I was conceived in my mother's womb, before anybody knew my name. Forgiveness was waiting for me. Watch this. But it was up to me to receive. Y'all hear me? The forgiveness of what God has gifted me. If I did not receive the gift of God for my life for salvation, what ends up happening? I continue in sin. And grace has abounded. The reason why we have not been cut off in our sins, and the reason why we have not been taken out in our sins at that time, at the time of sin, is because grace has abounded. Mercy continues over and over and over on our lives. Why?
Yes.
Because the blood of Jesus was shed for me. Yes. I know there's a whole lot of things going on nowadays with all these different things that people believe. Listen, the word does not alter itself. The word does not alter itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while God will do new things, the foundation of his word does not change. I'm going to continue to say
right.
that. Let me tell you something. In order for you to be saved, you must confess the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to believe that he shed his blood for the remission of your sins. And if he didn't, we would be lost, going to a burning hell. I thank God for Jesus that he saved my life, watch this, even when I didn't deserve it and I was unworthy of it. So why do I want to get to a place where I can get out of the darkness and be in a place where I can get delivered? I am only able to get deliverance because God makes me worthy. God makes me worthy. So I'm not going to let the life that he has given up go for naught.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, I'm so grateful for the gift that you've given me. I'm not going to waste my yesterday, but I'm going to move forward into the victories of my future. Now that I know him, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Somebody needs to say, I need to get to know him. Because when I know him, I know what God's power is capable of doing. And even if I mess up and fall, I said, I'm going to still give you victory over it. That's why we are survivors.
Yes.
Let me let you understand. What you don't let go, this is what the Bible says in Micah 7:19. Micah 7:19 says, you will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depth of the sea. People normally quote scripture as he throws our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. But the word says, he said, you will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquity into the depths of the sea. So we've got to stop holding on to the things that God has thrown away. We've got to let go of the things that God is not even concerned about. Oh, okay, let's think about it. The things that we have around our house, you know, you throw your everyday trash away. When I throw things that are unneeded for me, I put it in the trash. Matter of fact, today in our area, Thursday morning is garbage day. It's the pickup day. I don't think about what I've thrown away unless it was something I needed. Mm-hmm. Somebody gonna catch it in a minute. I don't think about what I have thrown away unless it was something I think I need. And come in, I need to let y'all know on tonight, sin is not what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And if sin is not what I need, then I should throw it away, and I shouldn't be thinking about it again. Stop thinking about what you, okay, stop thinking about the past relationship. Stop thinking about the brokenness. Stop thinking about the sickness. Stop thinking about what was said about you that hurt you. You've got to get to the place where you throw it away, let the trash man come and get it, and don't think about it no more. That's what God said. I'm going to trample over your sins. He said, I'm going to trample over your sins and the iniquity from your sins. I'm going to throw it away in the deep parts of the sea. There's places so deep in the sea.
Yes.
That we will never be able to reach. I don't care how deep folk go in to try to scuba dive and get the stuff that people have thrown, that the Lord threw away and say, okay, I done forgot about it. Let's move on. You know, people try to go in and try to deep sea diving and try to go back and get stuff. No, he said it's so deep. He said, I trampled over it. I trampled over it to the point where it's unrecognizable, that all it looks like is trash. And if you see it, you will walk over it thinking that's all it is trash. There's nothing valuable to it. There's nothing that sin can give me that will hold value to my life. So y'all need to say, write that down, throw it away. Throw it away.
Throw it away.
Some have to have the mindset that we realize that God can do new things for us.
Yes.
And while he is consistent in his blessings, and I think I may have shared this on here today, before, while God is consistent in his blessings, he is not always predictable in his methods. Stop thinking that God is always going to come the same way in your life. See, that's what messed up the Jews, because the Messiah didn't come the way they thought he should come. He didn't come with the royal gown and the priestly robe and the crown on his head. And he didn't leave out the way they thought he should. He wasn't born in the best neighborhood. Bible says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So I believe that God allowed him to come the way he was, so meek and so lowly, so that he could reach anybody, anywhere. Doesn't matter what your background, doesn't matter if you were born in the ghetto, doesn't matter where, if your family was completely dysfunctional, it doesn't matter what you were born in. God said, I reach down to the furthest part of what you think that you are, and I can tell you exactly what you've gone through, and I'm right next to you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm going to always be with you. Why? Because when I came here, I didn't come here high on the mountain. I came here meek and low to let you know that I'm here for you as well.
Yeah.
And what the enemy wants to do, people of God, the enemy wants to hold us hostage to the things of our past. I believe I was sharing this with our Bible study last week. We have, at some point in time, have self-imprisoned ourselves. We have imprisoned ourselves, watch this, not physically but mentally. We have mentally imprisoned ourselves, some physically, some mentally and spiritually. Because we will not allow ourselves to be open to the things that God has for us. And we close off the blessings that God has for us because we don't, again, think we're worthy. Again, don't think we deserve it. But God says, you do deserve it. That's what I came here for. That's what I gave gift of salvation for. It's not that I think I'm better than anybody. I just understand the method of way God works. So the thing is, nowadays, you know, there are new ways of things happening in our life. And I tell those who are single, we keep thinking that God is going to bless us with somebody who just falls out the sky with everything that's on our checklist. So sometimes God will put you in a place where you have to wait, and the person that shows up is not the person that you expected to show up. But after you finish looking at your whole list, you'll find out that there are so many things that's on that list that they are qualified and they have been able to check off on those things. Stop rejecting the blessings of God because you don't think you deserve it. Y'all can write that down too. Stop rejecting the things of God because you don't think you deserve it. All right? So we cannot allow bondage to overtake our lives. My mentor was dealing with last week. He was talking about Lazarus. I mean, talking about how Lazarus was bound hand and he was bound foot. He was in the grave. And the Bible says he was about 2 miles or two-day journey away from, I'm sorry, two-day journey from where Lazarus was when he was still alive. And the Bible says that they said to him, the disciples said, why are you going to go this way? They are trying to kill you. If you go that way, they're going to try to kill you. If it wasn't so much that they were trying to save Jesus from trouble, they didn't want to face trouble, the disciples. But the Bible said that Lazarus was bound hand and foot, and he was in the grave for 3 days. And Jesus let them know. He said, he is not dead, he is asleep. And when Jesus came there 3 days, Lazarus' sister said, if you would have come sooner, my brother would not be dead. But what you must understand is if he came any sooner, you would not know the glory of God that would have been revealed. See, the thing is, what are you saying, Pastor Dawn? What I'm saying to you, if God didn't hold back on what you asked him for and you thought it was dead, you would have never been able to praise God when he brought back what you thought was dead and resurrected it in your life. And blessed you and gave you a miracle that was not supposed to happen. Listen, after 3 days, it's considered that they are legally dead. After 3 days. That's why God waited. He waited a good 3 days to make sure that he was certified dead, that they had already put the death certificate and everything on him. Why? He said, because when I do it this time, I'm going to show you that I am the resurrection and the life. And I want to share with you who are on this line today, whatever's in your life that God promised you, that God has prophesied to you in your life, God said, I'm going to resurrect it. It may be 2 years, it may be 3 years that I've been waiting so I can resurrect this in your life. Watch this, so I can get the glory out of your life. Not only that, so that you can see that I am still God. Those who have been in a situation with you. That's why Mary and Martha, while they were sitting in the situation with their brother Lazarus and all of those who were around them, they had to say, oh my God, I can't. This man is dead. But now watch this. Not only does Lazarus see the glory of God, but those who were in it with Lazarus saw the glory of God. Can I tell you, there is coming a season and a time, not long from now, that people who are going through in a dark place, God said, I'm getting ready to resurrect, and I'm going to shine the light of glory on your situation, and those who are around you, there must be a God somewhere, because I watched what you went through, and yet and still God still got the glory out of it. And I want you to understand that God is going to get the glory out of everything that's going on in your life. Realize you cannot change yesterday, but you can take the opportunity to learn from yesterday so that tomorrow could be better. I'm going to say that again. I want you to hold on to that. You cannot change yesterday, but you can take the opportunities to learn from your yesterday so that tomorrow could be better. I've learned from my experience. Learn from what you've been through.
Amen.
If it didn't kill, it didn't come to kill you or destroy you. It came to make you better. It hurt, but it's going to make you better. It broke you in some areas, but it made you better. It made you cry, but it made you better. Because from what I've been through, and I know what God can do, it allows me to see things in a different light. That's why we have to understand, whenever we go through things in life, the experience that we have in life, that's why I'm going to go back to what I said in the beginning. He calls the young because they're strong. They can implement the things for tomorrow, but they cannot do it without the wisdom from yesterday. Yes, they're good at what they do. They can kind of take the computers and do whatever they – these children come out nowadays, and they can touch a phone by the age of 4 or 5 months and move around and do things that it takes people who are from years of past. It may take us a little longer. Because it's a new way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
But the input that you need to put in it, you might have to ask somebody from yesterday. Okay? So we learn from our elders. And then we input what they've given us in our lives so that we can work it out for our tomorrow. I'm going to open up the lines right now. I've got a few more minutes. I pray that all of you understand what God is trying to do for you. Let me just read this scripture before I open up the lines for anybody that wants to make a statement or share some experiences that they may have had. Bible says in Matthew 6:25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life and what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. It is not the life more than meat, and the body that more than raiment. Understand, God is blessing you and keeping you from the danger seen and unseen. People of God, don't worry about your tomorrow. God's got that covered, because there's victory in your tomorrow. Only because of what I've experienced from yesterday. All right, we're going to open up the lines. Anybody want to share anything that they may have heard or Mayor, can and add as some input in this to help somebody that may be on the line listening, and they just may need to hear your voice or hear something that you may say to help them out of what they're in. Is there anybody that, that the lines are open? We're asking them to open up the line.
I think we really got a lot out of your message, and I think it relates to all of us. And the past sometimes can recreate itself. But anyway, we have to look forward, and look forward with the light, God, and that way we don't get lost. We're going to face with a lot of challenges and difficulties, but as long as we stay in faith with God, as with Lazarus, his sister is making the comment, if you just come a few days earlier, my brother would still be alive. But that was a point in which God had his purpose of demonstrating his true glory, because it could be said that he was asleep, and Jesus just came and woke him up. But he'd been dead for 3 days, and body prepared and all that kind of stuff, preparation, and in the grave site. And that was a true demonstration that can't be questioned. And as we look at our own lives, we have to introspectively examine ourselves and move forward and spread the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. There was something that the man of God just said. Sometimes the past recreates itself. And one thing I've come to understand, my mentor, Dr. James E. Sturtevant, had said this as well. Anytime God takes you back to a place of hurt, he's taking you back there because he is going to change the outcome of that pain. In other words, there's sometimes we often go back to a place where it's painful for us because we haven't had closure in that area. So oftentimes it's hard for us to go back to a place that's painful, but know that anytime God brings you back to a past, to a place of pain, he's bringing you there in order to change your outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So your tomorrow will not be filled with the pain that is in that place of hurt. People of God, we've got to get over that place of hurt. And we cannot allow our past to continue to recreate itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we allow God to trample over the things of our past and throw our iniquities away. It's trash. Mm-hmm. It's all trash. And I don't
trash.
Play in trash. We don't play around in the garbage. So those who do that, you know, they may be looking for food or something like that because they may be in a place of in need. But there's a time when you get to a place where you understand what's in the garbage. I'm not going back to garbage. Amen? So we want to make sure that the people of God are grasping hold to the benefits of God. Know what your benefits are. One thing I've worked in the medical industry for over 18 years now. And one of the hardest things for me to get people to understand is that they don't know what their benefits are. And because they don't know what their benefits are, they rely on somebody else to let them know what their benefits are. And you got to know what you have in the kingdom of God. What is afforded to you? There's some things that the enemy says he can do, he cannot do. There's some things that happen in your life that are not supposed to happen. And the only reason why it happens in our life is because we have given it power, or we have given it authority to happen. But you, as a child of God, have the authority to tell the devil no. You have the authority to tell things that come in your life that you don't want in your life no. You have the power, because God has given us power.
Amen.
So know this, people of God. Know this, people of God. You're much stronger than what you know. You're much powerful
yes.
than what you know.
Yes.
Look through the Word of God. Look through the Word of God and find out the benefits of God. Because God wants you to be happy. Stop walking around talking about, I have to, the reason why some of the churches are taking away testimony service is because we give about a good 15 minutes to the enemy, what the enemy or what's going on in our life that is breaking us, and we give 2 seconds. But God, you know, we'll tell everybody what's going on, what's wrong with us, and then we'll say something at the very end. But God is able. No, give all of that. Let people know what God is doing. When you're ready to tell your testimony, tell your testimony where God gets 15 minutes of victory, and the enemy only gets 5 seconds of what God brought you out of. Let's flip that up. We are going to allow. We have to understand that it's time for us to allow God to do what he's going to do in our life. You have to allow God to let you overcome your yesterday with tomorrow's victory.
Yes.
Song says, victory, victory shall be mine. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battle. Victory shall be mine. So when I get up in the morning, I already got angels on the battlefield working for my victory on tomorrow. Because a brand new mercy I will see. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. Amen? If there's anybody
Amen.
Else, the line is open.
Amen. I just want to say I enjoyed this. This was so powerful and so encouraging about overcoming your yesterdays with tomorrow's our victories. And what came to my mind is that scripture about being not entangled with that yoke of bondage.
Amen.
Whatever is bringing bondage to our forward movement, we have to do like you said, what God does. He tramples, he throws them away. And that's what we have to do. We have to throw those things that were yesterday, even an hour ago, that we might have been did something wrong, even an hour ago. Throw that, because God is right there to forgive us. So we have to be clear that what you're saying, Pastor, we have to be clear that there is victory in our tomorrows, and we don't
Absolutely.
Even need to look back. We need to
Amen.
Press forward and not be entangled with that yoke of bondage where Christ has made us free. I enjoyed
Amen.
This. This was
Amen.
Good.
God bless you. I'm going to just turn it over to the hands of our Elder Clay, and he's going to give us last words and dismiss us. No, people of God who are on the line, it is always my pleasure to come and bring forth a word to you. I pray that whatever we say will be life-changing for you and that it will help you for your tomorrow. Please be blessed. We will see you on next, talk to you on next, the third Wednesday of March. And we pray that God's blessings will be over your life. God bless you.
Amen. 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 We enjoyed that as well. We definitely enjoyed that as well. And more than anything else, do not be held hostage. Do not be held hostage. Because God is a loving God. Amen. And we move forward. We move forward to the mark of the high calling. We thank you, Pastor, for the word. Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for you have revealed us the love that you have for us today. Father, we continue to invite you in our hearts and our minds and our spirit. And Father, Lord, we pray that you would just fan the flames of those gifts that you have given us, Heavenly Father. Let us reveal it to the world, Heavenly Father, that you are the truth. We thank you for grace each and every day. Lord, you are word, you are life. We thank you for your word, Heavenly Father. And Lord, Father, as we walk by faith, Father, we thank you for the faith that you have given us, Lord, and we just ask that we dwell within our hearts and stir us into action until we meet again. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
faith.